We continue. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio, hour number two of our radio program. Let's talk a little bit about the New York Jets right now. Big expectations ever since acquiring Aaron Rodgers. And now joining us is a man that's entering his third year in the NFL, was a fourth round pick back in the 2021 NFL draft via UNC. And that, of course, is Jets running back in Michael Carter. Michael, always great to catch up with you. Appreciate the time. How you been?
Yeah, man, I'm doing good. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. So I know you guys just wrapped up OTAs. You'll have 6 weeks off, and then training camp will get underway. Exciting season upcoming for the Jets. Just what's been the vibe so far being around the guys the last few weeks?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I can't even put it into words. Just my time here, this is the best it's ever felt here. So really excited. Keep on working a lot, and it feels good to – you know, feel like we're in a great place heading into the, 40 days and 40 nights of work before the season starts.
When you found out that Aaron Rodgers was going to be your quarterback, I know it seemed like it was a done deal for a while, but when the deal was officially finalized, just how did you find out about it and how did you react to get him one of the all-time great quarterbacks in your locker room?
Yeah, so I found out, I got a group message with my brothers and a couple of close friends, and I was actually taking a nap. But I woke up to the text and, hey, I got Aaron. Yeah, going to the Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. Everybody hypes it up. But so it's really cool to be able to play with a player, of that caliber. And he's also more than a player. I don't know if people give him credit, but he's an awesome teammate. And he's very helpful to have around. And I feel like just elevating everybody's game around him. And that's what a true great does. So. Also, we're under expectations of, obviously you get a good quarterback like that. You're going to want to, people are going to put expectations on him and those around him. So it's just a matter of, enjoying the game and playing the game. We always know how to play.
That's got to be the greatest nap of your life, where you take a nap and you wake up and then you have Aaron Rodgers. That's a wild story.
Right. You wake up, you're still dreaming.
Is it a little surreal in the locker room when you have a guy that has done that much greatness in the NFL and has been a part of that much greatness? Now he's in your locker room. Are you guys like past that awkward stage where it's okay that the Jets have Aaron Rodgers? I know it's a professional business, but it has to be a little bit surreal with him being in that locker room now.
Yeah, to be honest, I think a lot of that is credit to Aaron. He makes it feel like he's the one that leads that charge and making it not a big deal. And so I think it just speaks to his credit, like to have a superstar as that. That's done so much in the game and done so much for the game on and off the field, just come in and be like one of the guys and just be, like humble in approach, but very confident and human, because, we're going to put him on a pedestal because we've seen what he can do and we've seen what he's done and what he's about to do. And he's just continued to be great, but, he carries himself humbly and I'm grateful to have him as a teammate. So he kind of led the way. It wasn't really a long transition period. It was awesome.
What have you guys been doing to build that chemistry when you bring in a new quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, we get pretty diverse about, how we gel and things like that. The first weekend, I think he was here, it was like the weekend of the Kentucky Derby. And so I was going to go anyway, but I actually met him and Alan Lazard out there in Randall Cobb. And we had a good time. I got to chop it up with him for a while and, just really become friends, on top of just teammates. So just being around each other and along with the other guys and just communicating and talking football and talking life. So he's a great teammate along with Allen and, Randall and the rest of the guys that came in.
Jets running back Michael Carter here with us. That's pretty neat going to the Kentucky Derby with Aaron Rodgers. You're all jealous a little bit that Sauce Gardner got to go to Carbone, the Knicks game, and sit right next to Jessica Alba.
she's a great actor, but I gotta live my life the way I'm supposed to live. So, but I thought it was really cool that he met her and he had some cleats made with her face on it. So he's doing it all.
Oh, what's up with Sauce? How did Sauce not know who Jessica Alba was before that? Did you guys give him some crap in the locker room over that?
You'll be surprised. Like a couple of our teammates didn't know who she was, but well, they knew that she was like she was on Fantastic Four, but I think sometimes like it gets lost. Like we know the character, we don't know the name of the character. So you'd be surprised. We a little bit. He's 21 years old,
Yeah. So. Michael Carter here with us. So you talked about the expectations, and when you bring in a player the caliber of Aaron Rodgers, and last year you guys had a good team, it just seemed like the success of the quarterback position was missing. What type of offense do you think you guys can have this upcoming season?
Yeah, I mean, there's no, I don't feel like there's any ceiling on what we can do. It's just a matter of the work that we put in and attention to detail that we also put in. So I don't think there's any limits or boundaries for what we could do, but, you know, the offseason doesn't really mean anything. It's all about what you do when it's time.
And this division is just really tough. We know what Buffalo's done the last few years. Belichick is always Belichick. Tua has a bunch of weapons to throw the football to with the Miami Dolphins. Do you feel like you guys, this is your division, or do you still look at Buffalo as, hey, in order to be the champs, you got to beat the champs?
You know what? I think it's a good question. I think, you know, I was actually just watching ESPN right now, and we're all inside the top 12 in like power rankings. Obviously, I'm sitting at lunch, and there's not too much you can do to ignore that. I'm sitting right in front of me, but I think we probably do have the best division in football. And we had this argument the other day with a couple NFL friends, but I don't, you know, every season's a new season, so obviously the Buffalo Bills are a great team, and so is New England, and so is Miami, but also so are we, so I think only time will tell who, you know, to answer that question.
What did you really challenge yourself after 2 years in the NFL to work on this offseason to get the best year three possible for you providing to this football team, Michael Carter?
Yeah, I think the mental game, like the game within the game. I think obviously, like throughout my 2 years, I've proven that I am a good player in this league, and I've been pretty. I don't know, since I've had my ups and my downs, and you know, it just the game is an opportunity based game and a confidence based game, but those things can't waver up and down. So, just maintaining my consistency and how I approach the game and understanding that there's no moment too big or no moment too small. So just really understanding myself and getting in even more in depth of this offense. And even if we got a new offensive coordinator, it is a similar scheme. So I'm just being able to advance my football education. So I'm just growing within the game and understanding that you got to be explosive and make plays and extend plays and how I can get creative in doing that. So I'm excited for this season.
Well, talking about explosive, I saw Breece Hall the other day running. He looks pretty damn healthy to me. I know he's still in that recovery process. You know Breece very well, being a teammate, sharing that running back room with him. What could you tell us about Breece Hall and what you're kind of seeing at the facility with him right now?
Yeah, I mean, he's in great spirits as far as I know. I mean, he's doing really well. I was told he was ahead of schedule. Also, like, he's doing good. So, you know, I'm excited to have him back and excited to see him ball.
How would you describe your guys' relationship, Breece Hall and Michael Carter?
Yeah, I think it's grown so much over time. It's honestly a unique relationship. He acts a lot like my older brother, so he kind of feels like a family member already. But so it's been cool just being able to grow alongside him. And when he came in, kind of like being like his guide a little bit, to watching him now, like, guide the younger guys too. And, you know, we have a really good – I feel like we got a great relationship.
Michael Carter, that running back room could get a little extra crowded. I see all these rumors with Dalvin Cook being released that maybe he could actually end up being a New York Jet. How would you react to that if Dalvin Cook ends up signing with the Jets?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't know. It's really not my business, but I do know that he's a really good player. And, you know, I'm from Florida, so kind of like watching him at Florida State and Miami Central and obviously going with the Vikings. It's weird to see how the Vikings wouldn't want him. It kind of feels weird, but he's a good player. So, I mean, I can't control what they do. Obviously, I also feel like in our running back room is fine where we're at, but if, you know, that does happen, then, you know, I guess we'll see.
I know ego really builds people as well, and it's a reason why you got to believe in yourself for a football team to be so great. But when you have so much talent, sometimes people wonder if maybe if carries or touches get limited, if that could be a detriment to someone in a locker room. Just where's the ego at of this football team, and do you feel like this is a selfless group right now?
Yeah, I do. I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, all of us want to win. All of us want to get paid. All of us want to do those things. And those are real goals that we have. But I think that none of that really happens unless you win football games. And I think that's also the understanding. So Yeah, no, I think the Eagles are, you know, to the top. And I think that also, you know, understand that we got some guys and that are later in their career that are really looking to win the Super Bowl. And also, as much as they want to win one, the younger guys want to win one too. That's all we play for. And that's a huge reason why we play, is to win the big game. And, you know, understanding the guys that have won the Super Bowl in the building, they're very keen on letting us know that what it really takes to win the Super Bowl and what it can do for your life. Like, it can change your whole life for winning one game. So getting there is the biggest challenge, and then, but it takes time, and it's a process that starts now.
I know it's just early on in the process, Michael Carter, third-year running back for the Jets. It's one thing to say, I believe we're a Super Bowl contender. I ask any player that, of course, they're going to say yes. But do you really feel that this could be a Super Bowl team this upcoming year?
Yes, no question. You know, we got a defense, an elite defense. We have elite special teams. And then we have an offense that the way that we've been looking is very much on our way to being elite. So it just takes time. Offense takes time. And when you have a new OC, new quarterback, and you have depth at all positions and you have explosive players at all positions, we have everything that you would need on paper to win a championship. So all that is, you know, now it's just a matter of displaying it week to week and being consistent in doing that.
Last thing I'm going to ask you, Michael Carter, it's actually to be about one of your college teammates in Sam Howell. You guys shared that same backfield at UNC. He's trying to be the starting quarterback now for the Washington Commanders. What can you tell us about what the Commanders have in Sam Howell?
Yeah, they got a. There's no words. I just think that, for one, he shouldn't have been a fifth-round pick. Definitely should have won that first round. But, you know, everything happens for a reason. And, you know, he's rooted deep in faith. And, you know, it carries him a long way. And he's a great player. He's an even better person. And I'm always rooting for him from the side. And I think he's going to tear the league up. Just give him a few minutes. He's going to do great.
And you got to be excited for UNC this year. I know what Drake May did a season ago, but everyone in college football is now talking about Caleb Williams and then the UNC quarterback and Drake May.
Yeah, I'm taking Drake over him, even though Caleb is amazing. He won the Heisman, but I'm just biased. But also, you know, from an unbiased perspective, it's a toss-up. They're both great players. I think Drake has a great game. He's a winner. He knows how to win. And also, you know, from a defensive perspective, I think UNC probably has one of the best front sevens in the country coming into the year. And not that they're all super hyped up on the media, besides Cedric, I think maybe Cedric Gray or Miles Murphy. But from top to bottom, they have a bunch of speed, size, power, IQ, all that, everything that you need. And obviously, they're led by Mac, so he's always going to put a great team together.
Well, always appreciate the time, Michael Carter. Thanks so much, and good luck this upcoming season.
Yeah, thank you.
There he is, Michael Carter from the Jets, as the Jets have big expectations this year ever since acquiring one Aaron Rodgers. Hickey, I got a question for you off that interview. Now, I don't know if you're the right person to ask this question to because you had just a terrible take going back to the whole Sauce Gardner, Aaron Rodgers, Jessica Alba attending a Knicks game, right, and sitting courtside. Michael Carter goes to the Kentucky Derby with Rodgers, Alan Lazard, and Randall Cobb. If let's just say you could tag along, would you rather get the Sauce Gardner treatment where you go to Carbone, you sit courtside at a Knicks playoff game, and you just so happen to be seated right next to Jessica Alba? Or would you rather take the trip out to the Kentucky Derby? What would have intrigued you more if, let's just say, not that Rodgers is trying to wine and dine Michael Carter or Sauce Gardner, but if you're on the wine and dine tour with Aaron Rodgers going to the New York Jets?
I've never obviously done any of the things you just listed, but I will take the Kentucky Derby. I think that to me would be a little more rambunctious, I think a little bit more fun, and something that I think is harder to do. The Knicks hopefully have multiple playoff games going forward, and if I'm an NFL player, I should be able to afford courtside seats.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go with the Kentucky Derby trip.
I agree. I was actually supposed to go to Kentucky Derby, and then COVID hit, and then they canceled the Kentucky Derby, but I was supposed to go to a bachelor party on the Kentucky Derby. Now, just going off of that, if you could pick three people to go to dinner with, who are the three people? And let's go living. Like, not one of those questions. Doesn't matter, just in the history of the world, three people. I'm talking about three people that are living right now. I could tell you that we're going to hop on a private jet and go to whatever restaurant you want in the country. Who are the three people of fame that you're going to pick? Like, don't give me the whole lovey-dovey answer. I'm going to take my girlfriend, or, you know, I'm going to take my mom and dad. I'm talking about people that would actually be big-time names. Who are your three people?
Peyton Manning, without a doubt.
Okay.
Dave Chappelle.
Oh, that's a great one. I like that one. Dave Chappelle, one of my all-time favorite comedians. Love the Chappelle Show. Chappelle Show. Third one is tough here.
So I got my sports with Peyton.
You got your comedy.
Obviously got the jokes.
You got the entertainment. Now, Peyton Manning, you think he's going to be wearing a Denver Broncos jersey that dinner or an Indianapolis Colts jersey? Because it seems like he associates himself more with Denver these days.
My bet is he would probably wear an orange-ish checkerboard button-down shirt that I feel like he's worn a ton for, of course, the Tennessee Volunteers.
Okay.
So
yeah, you can spin that however you want.
He would be supporting Rocky Top. Ooh, the third is tough. I'm trying to rack my brain here. You got three?
Yeah.
Okay, need a little more time. Okay, you give your three, I'll give you, and then I'll circle back my last.
I went a similar way for my first one, Tom Brady. You got to go your favorite quarterback of all time, probably Peyton Manning's your favorite athlete of all time, I'm assuming, right?
Yes, sir.
My favorite athlete of all time as well, Tom Brady. Two, Beyonce, my childhood crush. How could I not invite Beyonce and megastar as well? Like, we would walk in that restaurant, everyone would stand up and their jaw would just hit the floor. And finally, I'm going entertainment value here, Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley is just the life of every party. Yes, probably not in the same class in greatness as Brady and Beyonce, even though Charles Barkley is one of the 75 greatest NBA players of all time, but those are just different level of stardom when you go to Brady and Beyonce. But for Charles Barkley, he's one of the more entertaining people that I've ever listened to. So Charles Barkley would be the third choice there. Who's your third?
I'm going to go, I'll go Mets owner Steve Cohen. I got to give him some pointers here.
Just the rich guy you're going to dinner with? Please. You go Peyton Manning.
Got to tell him how to run the team.
You were going then Dave Chappelle. Great. And then Steve Cohen.
Well, it's who I'm going to dinner with. I'm going to be selfish, of course. I'm never getting this chance to ever talk to him again.
You're going to tell him how to run the team.
That's right.
I thought you said this was a great roster that they assembled, and you're still believing in the Mets, even though
they got
you're
talent.
The biggest
They're just
fool.
Not
they
playing not. Up to it.
They don't have enough talent.
So I'll tell Steve how to light a fire under their you-know-what.
Okay, yeah, because people are going to really be afraid of you if you're walking into the locker room.
I'm not going to be intimidating. I'm just going to say, Steve, let's go. Like, what are you doing here?
Okay.
This is unacceptable.
Yeah. I would not invite Steve Cohen. Thanks, Steve. Happy that you're on the team. You're not coming to my dinner. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, News Brief next.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. For your daily news brief, we get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, news brief time. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. I love this clip. Andy Reid, the big fella, Big Red, discusses what the big food spread was at the Kansas City Chiefs' trip to the White House.
A French toast, grilled cheese, and ham sandwich that they sprinkled a little bit of powdered sugar on. I mean, it was phenomenal. The guys were, and it was, there was abundance of this. And then they had chicken fingers, exotic chicken fingers to boot. And then maybe the best part was they had, which I hadn't seen before, but little bite-sized squares of the heart of the watermelon.
By the way, can I ask what may be a stupid question here, Hickey? What is exotic chicken fingers?
I don't know. Maybe they're just exotic because it's the White House, so it's extra fancy, but it's just your normal run-of-the-mill chicken fingers?
Is that Andy Reid? I'm just asking. Andy Reid comes off to you as a traditional wing guy, correct, Amundo?
Sure. He looks like that.
That's not nice. He looks like that.
That's what you're hinting at.
No, I just... I
don't hear you say Sean McVay looks like a your classic wing guy.
Well, he puts his pinky up and probably dips his chips in some caviar, having one foot in the party and one foot out of the party. But Andy Reid looks like a man's man, and you would think he would eat a chicken wing instead of being like you and just having a boneless chicken wing. Do you think they were serving boneless chicken wings at the White House, and Andy Reid, who's a man's man, is a fan of the regular wing, so that's why he called it an exotic chicken wing?
I would say it's a compliment to the boneless wings. Exotic, I think, is a good word to use for it. So I would say if you're a fan of the boneless, or if you're in the boneless wing community, I would probably say you're hoping that that's what they were serving.
Trump was president, right, when LSU won?
Football, yes, and they had the McDonald's.
That's what I was going to say. Go Tigers! What's the White House doing? They serve McDonald's then? And then a bunch of years later, with the new president, you're serving French toast, grilled cheese, ham sandwiches, chicken fingers, and then some specific cut watermelon.
Cubed watermelon.
You would think that they would have a luxurious spread when you're bringing in the Super Bowl champions. And nothing wrong with some greasy food there, but when the highlights are French toast, grilled cheese, ham sandwich, chicken fingers, and cube sliced watermelon, I'd be expecting a little bit more of a luxurious spread, let's just say.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they're used to not, or they can't handle the capacity of cooking for like 100 people.
It's the White House.
Or with staffers, probably 100. I don't know. I don't know.
White House can't handle a lot of simple things these days, so.
Maybe, I don't know, like, yeah. Maybe that's what they, I don't know, do you put a request in if you're the team going there? Like, hey, would you want to eat? I don't know.
You're having company.
It's also, okay.
When company comes over, you serve a nice meal.
It's politicians trying to get into the sports world. It's about politicians in general, not real people. They are so...
It's the White House!
...removed from society that they probably assume, oh, this is what football players eat. Let's just, you know, let's give them what they would like. I could easily see that being like the thought process.
Yeah, because when have you ever heard a football player say, I want the French toast grilled cheese ham sandwich?
Well, it's just, you know, your classic sandwich, and they just made it fancy with the White House spin.
A classic sandwich? French toast, grilled cheese,
no, I'm saying, like,
ham sandwich.
Those three are like staples, and like they said, oh, we're the White House, we'll you know, spin it up into like a fancier version, but...
Play the clip again, just the beginning part of the clip again, go ahead.
A French toast, grilled cheese, and ham sandwich.
That's one thing, right?
I would assume that's the way he described it. I would think so.
CeeLo, let me ask you a question here.
What do we got? Andy Reid talking food again?
Yeah. Okay. So they serve up some cube sliced watermelon, chicken fingers, and a French toast grilled cheese ham sandwich. I know a bunch of years ago, it was Trump had McDonald's served to LSU. Don't you think you'd have a little bit better food at the White House?
Especially considering the great food they have in Kansas City and the surrounding areas and how much Andy Reid talks about that all the time. I know he's sometimes just a simple cheeseburger man, well, but they didn't even serve the cheeseburgers.
That's the thing. Thank you. CeeLo is the guy that I could have this conversation with.
Yeah.
If you're going to just go these greasy foods outside of the watermelon, you know the coach loves burgers. So if you want the politician photo op at the White House, you serve a big fat burger for the big fella.
And maybe, you know, from a local establishment that's not a chain. Like,
yeah,
hey, here's
get
one
a little pub.
Nice DC grill, pub, barn grill, something of that nature. Nice fresh cheeseburger for Coach Reid, and away you go.
Mike McCarthy says, Dak Prescott, remember Kellen Moore's now with the Los Angeles Chargers. He has complete control of the offense.
They need to own the offense. You know, I have no interest in being known as some guru coach or a smart coach. I'm a smart Hall of Fame type quarterbacks. The only way to get there is you got to make them own the offense. And he has the personality, and he's done a really good job of taking ownership of that. And then with that, he's knocked it out of the park.
CeeLo, I love how you basically just said Mike McCarthy. I know basically you all think I'm an idiot. I'm going to then really lay into the idiot tag.
Yeah, I just chuckled on the delivery there. It's like he's not even hiding from it. So I kind of applaud him for that, actually.
Dalvin Cook now officially available. He's a free agent. Robert Saleh, remember, was not interested in DeAndre Hopkins. Kind of made that clear. yeah, we're good with the wide receiving room. I know that we looked into Odell Beckham, but not expected to look into DeAndre Hopkins. Well, what about Dalvin Cook, who's now available as a running back?
It's obviously we'll turn the stones over on that one, but again, that'd probably be more of a joke question. I'm not sure how the money works on that.
That comes off to me as we are interested. I'm going to say it's up to Joe, but in reality, it's really up to number 12 in Aaron Rodgers, or what is he wearing, 8 now?
Yes.
He changed his number?
From Cal.
Oh, that's going to be obnoxious. I'm going to still refer to him as number 12.
Well, Namath offered for him to his number, and Rodgers respectfully declined, didn't want to go that route.
Okay, so it's up to the great 8 in Aaron Rodgers.
That's right.
And I have a pretty strong feeling that Aaron Rodgers, I would imagine, has already had contact with Dalvin Cook.
And had a conversation with Joe Douglas to,
more importantly,
vouch his approval.
The more and more I'm starting to think about this, I kind of anticipate that Dalvin Cook's going to be a New York Jet or a Denver Bronco. The Miami thing, I feel as if it was going, if it was going to happen, it would have already happened by now. And I know that they, according to Albert Breer, there was talks about a third-round pick at the draft, and now it's not going to cost you anything but money. But everyone's on the Miami train, and it feels as whatever everybody's on one train, that it's not going to happen. And also, if you're Dalvin Cook, I think he wants to go to Miami. But the fact that he had to immediately post that photo of him in Hard Rock Stadium, maybe he feels like there's a little skepticism coming from the Miami Dolphins.
And the thing with the Jets is, I mean, beyond the Rodgers appeal, Breece Hall is coming off a torn ACL.
Yeah.
I know they feel like he's ahead of the curve and he's on schedule to be ready for the start of the season. And they drafted him back in the 5th round. They've got Michael Carter there. But, like, I mean, Dalvin Cook's been extremely I understand he's had his injury concerns.
Are you about to just say something disrespectful to, about Michael Carter, who just joined us about 10 minutes ago?
Not disrespectful at all. I'm just saying, no offense to Michael Carter. I don't think he has the resume and the production that a Dalvin Cook has. I'm a big Michael Carter guy.
Gotcha.
And that's one of the reasons I was saying the Jets shouldn't bring in a veteran. But that was before Dalvin Cook was cut loose by the Vikings.
Tyreek Hill says his goal is to have 2,000 receiving yards this upcoming season.
I feel like I got the right tools around me. You know, I got, you know, obviously the most accurate quarterback in the NFL. You know, I got one of the best, you know, head coaches in the NFL, and also my position coach is, you know, a monster also. So I do want to break the record. So I feel like this is one of those years that I can, you know, achieve it.
So that's not as dumb as Lamar Jackson a few weeks ago saying he wanted to throw for 6,000 yards in a season when he's never cleared 4,000 his career. I just don't see how you get to 2,000. You would need Tua to be healthy the entire season, because no offense to Mike White. If Mike White's coming on in, I don't think you're getting to 2,000 passing receiving yards. And also, you have so many weapons on that offensive side of the ball with also Jaylen Waddle. You'll both easily go for 1,000, but for him to go to 2,000, what, did Jaylen Waddle get hurt? That's the only way that's probably possible.
Maybe that's the deep thought here. Maybe that's what he's really getting at.
Nice.
No, I'm kidding.
Tyreek Hill, by the way, I feel like every time this guy speaks, at this point, ever since leaving Kansas City, he's just looking to say something to grab
Oh, yeah, whatever he wants. I don't care. His head coach is, you know, talking about whether he vaped or not on the sidelines in a playoff game. He's playing.
Well, what did you make of that, by the way? Because I heard that from part of my take. Maybe we'll play that a little bit later. He played it. I thought it was marinated a ton of sarcasm that he had no clue what the video was.
He knew.
But McDaniel is so weird that, like, it wouldn't shock me if he didn't know what the conversation was. I think he knew what the conversation was.
He knew, and I think without saying it, he was admitting that that's what he was doing.
Oh, you actually think he was vaping on the sideline?
Yeah, I do.
Huh.
I do.
I don't know.
When you listen to those, have you heard the full extended?
Yeah,
you
have? I watched the clip.
The whole, you know, people to say that being the storyline out of the playoff game, it was annoying enough for me to go and quit. Vaping.
Yeah.
And he's doing it cold turkey.
You know what my problem is with Mike McDaniel? Every time he speaks, I feel like I just don't get the joke with Mike McDaniel.
They're usually long-winded.
Because everyone loves him. He could do no wrong. He creeps me out, Mike McDaniel.
I mean, it's different. He's interesting. He's clearly a character. He enjoys having some fun, whether it be at the press conference with the local media in a interview like that with a podcast or a standalone show, whatever the case may be. But usually it's like a long way to bring it home because he talks. He's very slow and calm with his delivery. So
I couldn't take him seriously. If I was a player on that team, I know the players love him.
So far.
But if I was sitting in that locker, I'd be like, Coach, what the F are you talking about?
Right. Like, I'd like, and I'm sure it exists out there, but usually the clips I see are of him dealing with the media and just poking fun. But have we seen a in the locker room inspirational Mike McDaniel video yet?
Outside of when he ripped out the ping pong tables, but I don't think he actually ripped out the ping pong tables. It was revealed that one of the ping pong tables were actually bent.
Right.
And they needed repairs.
Yeah.
All right. We're about to get rated R here on back-to-back clips, and then we'll toss it to CeeLo for an update. Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett were doing a live stream together on Show Basketball, and Paul Pierce, I guess, didn't know that he was live in another clip that I did see. I guess Garnett just invited him to this stream, and Paul Pierce revealed something rather interesting who he was rolling with at this stream.
Formula One,
so this is my girlfriend for the day. They got a website that you can hire girlfriends for the day.
Stop, man.
And so I got a girlfriend.
Stop, man. Stop.
You can hire girlfriends for the
Stop,
day.
Stop, man.
I went on the website and I hired a girlfriend
right
for the day.
Look at, look. Collins. There go Collins. There go, look at D-Wade at the game. Okay, D-Wade. No, we're working. We're working. We're not popping. We're working.
We're popping.
We're on the live stream.
Why don't you understand the difference between popping and popping?
No.
We're popping.
No. We're live streaming. Right. This AP out the dark.
Where you show me the live stream?
It's right here. Look. Move, Jalen.
Show me.
It's right here. Look right here.
Show me the likes and the comments and all that on that. Oh, this is it. Yeah.
So I'm just going to assume here. I don't have any proof, but I'm just assuming here that Paul Pierce was maybe a little inebriated in this exchange. I'm just going to go on a limb here. And we've seen before Paul Pierce partying, and it actually was why he got let go from ESPN. But I just found it to be funny, CeeLo, that in this case, he didn't know he was live. And he's like, they have a website where you could find a girlfriend for the day. Okay. KG, meet my girlfriend.
Listen, he's clearly enjoying life, retirement, post-basketball life.
You know what? We did
Let the man live.
We did a conversation earlier. Three people that are living that you love to invite to dinner. I may need maybe after this exchange need to invite Paul Pierce.
All right.
I had Brady, Beyonce, and then Charles Barkley. Maybe I'll get rid of Beyonce, even though she's my childhood crush.
Yeah.
But I think Paul Pierce would be able to find some ladies.
I think, and also he knows a lot more about where the bodies are buried, maybe than Beyonce. In a lot of ways.
NBA circles you're talking about?
Just like in general. Seems like a guy that's probably got a lot of good stories.
Okay.
That he'd be willing to share. I don't know how forthcoming Beyonce would be.
Well, talking about stories, I guess if you are a girl that knows Zion Williamson, you are now releasing a story about some sexual encounter. I think this was at a charity event because it's via the Zion Williamson Foundation page. Zion Williamson's stepfather says the rumors surrounding Zion aren't all true.
That's my son and I love him. You know, when I was a child, I walked like a child, talked like a child, did childish things. But when I became a man, when I understood, then God blessed me. So all I'm going to say this morning, believe half of what you see and nothing you hear. That's all I'm going to say. My son, 100%.
So, two things here. I interpret that as him saying Zion is in between being a child and a man, and that some of these things may be true, but not all of these things are true. The end result where he's like, I stand by my son, the buildup there didn't really add up.
I didn't. He lost me at the whole when I became a man and God blessed me. I don't know. I don't know what he was going for there.
Yeah, I didn't really.
I'm not saying he's wrong. It's just I was lost. He didn't quite bring it all together. Kind of like Mike McDaniel a little bit.
Yeah. You know what? Zion Williams' stepfather and Mike McDaniel, they had a conversation together, I'd be the most lost person on this planet.
Yeah, I think we'd all be left scratching our head.
All right, that's a news brief. You could fade down the sound right there. CeeLo, real quickly, what were you telling me about all these aliens that are happening in Las Vegas?
I don't know how accurate
you're now turning into Mike McDaniel with some of this stuff you were spewing in the newsroom.
I'm not a conspiracy theory guy. I'm not a big alien guy, but I did see that, in Vegas, there was a cop, a police officer, who basically... I think it was in his, maybe the rear view or in the dash cam, they caught like this bright thing falling from the sky.
Oh, so it wasn't phoned in, someone saying, I see an alien.
This was the first part.
Oh.
Okay. So that, and then shortly thereafter, less than an hour later, someone made a 911 call who lives in the area about 80 miles from Area 51, if you actually believe that exists. Have we confirmed that that exists? Maybe. I don't know. And he makes the call saying there are two unknown entities in his backyard after he and his family saw a similar object fall from the sky. And these were quotes from the 911 call. There's like an 8-foot person beside it and another one inside, presumably whatever craft fell from the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And it has big eyes and it's looking at us and it's still there in my backyard. I swear to God, this is not a joke. This is actually, we're terrified. They're very large. They're like 8 foot, 9 feet, 10 foot. They look like aliens to us. Big eyes. Can't explain it. Big mouth, shiny eyes. They're not human. They're 100% not human. So sure enough, they send responding units out there. And I guess the cops that went out there were like a little nervous themselves.
Really?
Combined with the one who earlier saw a bright light fall from the sky.
At first, I just thought this was someone that was messed up. But if the cops are confirming
it was, sort of, you want to start to piece things together and connect the dots. Of course, they never actually found anything, but these cops had a conversation with the guy, and the cop said, I'm not going to BS you. One of my partners said they saw something fall out of the sky, too.
Wow.
So I don't believe in it, but what I saw right now, I do believe in it, the 911 calling person said to the cops. So they did an investigation. Obviously, they didn't find anything, or it would have been everywhere. But there seems like there was a thing within the last month or so, like former... I think it was like either an Air Force pilot or like a Marine or something had claimed that there's all sorts of classified stuff going on and that the government is collecting these UFOs and aircraft or spacecraft. And
they're going to turn the aliens against us?
Studying them. So who the heck knows?
I'm usually
not big on these things, but this one caught my eye a little
bit. Could you imagine if like this summer you're just sitting out in your backyard and the next thing
right.
you see something drop from the sky and it's an 8-foot creature with these big eyes and... Everyone's going to think you're nuts, but then you call the cops and the cops are like, no, this actually did happen. Yeah. And everyone thinks the cop is nuts.
That's why this one caught my eye, because you had two things happening within an hour of each other. And usually we say, UFO, I spotted something in the sky. This is actually a dude who says there were creatures on the ground in his backyard and then had a description of them. Now, fittingly, conveniently, there was no cell phone pictures or video of that part. Yeah. So
you know what's going to happen.
Believe what you will.
Marash is going to be outside this summer. At his family bar, they'll have the Ring camera going, and Mraz will be the first person to capture the live look at an alien, and it will like blow up Bob's bar or something.
First contact.
Yeah, Bob's I can actually see Mraz like becoming friends with the alien.
Oh yeah, of course, he'd make fast friends with them.
He said he listened to my podcast.
Yeah, right. Big fan of the show.
Aboard the mothership.
Oh my god.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. You can think of O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You can always interact with us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. And coming up at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific from the preeminent studio show in the hockey world, NHL on TNT, which runs circles around whatever ESPN gives you, Liam McHugh, the host of all that chaos and fun, is going to stop by and join us, recap Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. Tell us we got to look forward to coming up tomorrow evening at sunrise in Sunrise, Florida at FLA Arena, I believe that is. I believe that's what it's called these days. It was once, I think in the BT&T Center, something like that. Or the BB&T Center. So they change the buildings all the time. But anyway, we'll preview that game for the Stanley Cup Final as that series is 2-1. Florida gets on the board last night. What a great game as they did score when they pulled the goalie. You had Tkachuk score right in front, tie up the game. Bad call right towards the end of regulation where afterwards, I'll give credit, Biz, the great one, Wayne Gretzky, and also Henrik Lundqvist were just crushing the officials because that was a terrible call. The player sold it. He got it. It's something you can't call the final 12 seconds of regulation. You shouldn't call it any time because it wasn't a penalty. And then thankfully, Florida was able to kill off that man advantage. You get the game winner by Carter Verhaeghe. And now we have a very interesting game four because if Florida wins, you're all tied up at 2-2. If the Golden Knights, though, bounce back, then it's 3-1 going back to Las Vegas. Hey, Hickey, real quickly, with game four of the NBA Finals about to get underway, coming up in about a half hour or so from now, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray are now being recognized as the best duo in the NBA. When we get to the other three sports, I don't think the NFL is debatable. It's Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. That's the best duo in the NFL world. In hockey, it's Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Major League Baseball was the only one that I had a little bit of pause on. Right away, you think Ohtani and Trout. Ohtani does something that no one else does in the game at the elite level that he does, and Mike Trout's an absolute stud. We've just never seen those Angels teams not only be in the playoffs, but be competitive. So I was thinking, do you maybe give the edge to Freddie Freeman, who just got over there to the Los Angeles Dodgers along with Mookie Betts? But I feel like just because of what Ohtani does, not only at the plate, but also on the mound, and how great Trout has been for a decade, you probably go Ohtani and Trout. So where do you go in the Major League Baseball world for duos?
I would go Ohtani and Trout because they're not the reasons, right? Obviously, the Angels can't make the playoffs. It's unfortunately everyone else around them. But here's one. If you want to actually get into the true definition of duo, like in terms of one pitcher, one hitter.
Yeah.
Judge and Gerrit Cole on the Yankees.
That's pretty damn good, even though Judge is hurt right now.
All right, but I mean, he's best player in baseball. And you could argue Gerrit Cole's best pitcher in baseball.
You could.
In terms of pitcher, position player sort of duo. Not just two best players on a team.
Okay. That's an interesting one. I would still like Freeman and Betts over Cole and Judge, but if you want to say one pitcher, one hitter, okay. I don't think that beats out, though, Ohtani and Trout once again, just because Ohtani does it both ways. Onside, offside. Next.
Mountain Dew Zero Sugar asks, ever wonder what it would be like to live in an alternate universe? Well, friends, welcome to the alternate universe of Mountain Dew Zero Sugar. Because even though it says zero sugar right there on the bottle, when you crack one open and try it, the taste is nothing less than outrageously delicious. Hey, transport yourself to an alternate universe with Mountain Dew Zero Sugar. Zero sugar, all do.
Quit your Thursday Quality Mart today where you can get 220-ounce ice-cold Mountain Dews for only $3.50. Mountain Dew and Quality Mart, do the do.